brought near the clans of Judah, and the clan of the Zerahites was taken. And he brought near the clan of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought near his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now, what have you done? Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them, and see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel, and they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the cloak, and the bar of gold, and his sons and daughters, and his oxen, and donkeys, and sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones. They bent them with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. We are back in our series of messages in the book of Joshua, and the seventh chapter. This chapter highlights the seriousness of sin as found in a man called Achan, but also it highlights the corporate guilt that was brought about the nation of Israel as a result of the one man's sin, or the sin of Achan. The last time I was preaching, which is about a month ago, I preached from verse 19 all the way to verse 21, the portion we're looking at again this morning, and we looked at the confession of Achan under the heading "Acceptable Confession Before God." And the last two Sundays, I took a break from this particular portion of the scriptures due to the frowning providence that we've experienced as a church when we lost some members, two members to death, and looked at other portions of scriptures in order to encourage ourselves. And this morning we are back in the seventh chapter of the book of Joshua. And the last time I preached, it was about a month ago, we looked at the acceptable confession, and we underscored three burning lessons from Achan's confession. And we saw that acceptable confession before God is God-centered, sin-conscious, and it does not cover sin. And this morning, we continue in the charge of Joshua to Achan, and we will still focus on Achan's confession, or Achan's response to Joshua's charge. And we'll see what I'm calling an unacceptable confession, unacceptable confession. And this must immediately ring of communicate to us this morning that just because you have confessed to something or you've confessed to the sin does not necessarily mean God is pleased with that confession. Just because you've admitted to something does not necessarily mean that the Lord is happy with that confession. And at the end of it all, I pray that each one of us will truly examine ourselves and see whether the confession of sin we've made is God-centered, it is pleasing before God, or it's really a confession that is squeezed out of us. And the first thing I'd like you to note with me as a negative lesson from Achan's confession is that the confession which the Lord does not desire is a confession that is forced out of an individual. A forced confession. A confession that is squeezed out of the person. And look at with me from verse 19 to verse 20. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. And tell me now, what have you done? Do not hide it from me." And verse 20, "And Achan answered Joshua, 'Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did.'" Confession, when caught, is more of the confession of being caught than the confession of the sin committed. Just as confession after conception is often time more of the confession of the pregnancy than the confession of the sin committed, than the confession of sexual sin, than the confession of fornication, than the confession of adultery. And this is what we see from Achan's confession. Yes, he did confess, but it is a confession that comes as a result of being squeezed and having no option but to admit to what has happened. Joshua demanded a full confession from Achan. And he's saying, "Do not leave anything. Bring it out. What have you done?" Achan was made to realize that he was now dealing with the God of Israel. He was dealing with Yahweh. And Joshua is saying, "Achan, you are now before the God of Israel. You are under oath. Yahweh knows. Yahweh picked you out from the camp. Yahweh now demands that you make a full confession of your sin." Now, if you've been following this series, you discover that for some unknown reason, Achan had remained silent throughout the painful process of the lot. Through all the interrogation, the inquiry, through all the ups and downs that the nation of Israel had gone and suffered at the hands of the small town of Ai, because of Achan, because of his sin, he had delayed up until it was impossible any longer to conceal his guilt, to conceal his sin. And now Joshua is saying to him, "You have remained silent for too long." Yahweh was displeased with the nation because of you. Yahweh allowed us to be defeated because of your sin. Achan, why did you fool yourself in thinking that you'll get away with your sin? Now hide it not from me, and tell it all. What have you done? Now Achan was hoping that by being silent, the sin will simply pass and be forgotten in the nation of Israel. He was hoping that by prolonging his confession, by not coming to confess his sin before Joshua, the leader of the nation, and ultimately before Yahweh, that the sin and its consequences will be forgotten. And now he's been forced to make a confession. And this is a problem with all of us as human beings. When we sin, instead of coming to terms with our sin, we somehow project the sin in us on others as well. And we hide in the shadows of it will soon pass, and people will forget about it. Or we hide in the shadows of everyone is doing it. And most likely, this must have been Achan's reasoning. Surely, a cloak from China, a coat, and a bar of gold will not cause God to be displeased with us. Maybe someone else took a box of God, or maybe someone else took more than I have done. And yet he knew the instructions of Yahweh, that when you enter Jericho, as recorded in Joshua chapter 6, destroy everything. Then the silver and the gold, bring it to the Lord's house. Sin alters your thinking. You do not realize that you are deceived. You somehow convince yourself that you can hide sin from God. Sin deceives. Imagine Eve in the Garden of Eden, with filled with good disposition. All her faculties were well balanced. Yet that lovely woman, without a stain of sin on her heart, she was deceived by the serpent to disobey her God. How much more you and I, who are born sinners and live in this sinful world, sin deceives. And it causes you and I to think that we can hide sin from God. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, the first thing they did is that they went into hiding. And when God came calling, which is an act of God's mercy and grace, he knew what they had done, yet he came out calling so that they may acknowledge their sins and acknowledge what they had done. And God called out to Adam and Eve, and they went into hiding. God still continues to extend his call of mercy to sinners. Yet sinners go into hiding, thinking that they can hide sin from God. And then they are made to confess their sins before God. Not because they've acknowledged that sin is an injury to God's holiness, God's character, but because they've been forced to make that confession. And we see from Achan's life, as recorded for us in Joshua 7, that God does not accept such a confession. And the Bible does say that a day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Even these stubborn ears that refuse to bow to Christ now, a time is coming when you'll be forced to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. But the sad reality is that for most, it will be a confession that will not come out willingly, but a confession that will be forced out of them. And a confession that will be brought about by divine omnipotence. And on that day you'll be ushered into hell, even though having confessed that Jesus is Lord. And we see that such a confession the Lord does not accept. But secondly, we note that a confession which the Lord does not desire is a confession without a genuine change of heart and mind. A confession without a genuine change of heart and mind. And we pick something of this in verse 20, when Achan answered Joshua, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did." We cannot congratulate Achan on this confession. Yes, he did confess, but it's because he had no way out of the situation. There was no change of heart and mind. At least we have no record of such to show that Achan had realized that the sin he had committed was against God, and he desired to have a change of heart and mind. We do see and read that yes, he did confess, but it's a confession that came because there was no way out of the situation. Think of what hardness of heart it must have taken for him to watch 36 men die when they went to Ai, or Ai. 36 men were killed in battle because of his sin. And you could imagine the weeping, the wailing in the camp. 36 men had died. And when you read the book of Joshua, it is the only time when we are told that the people of Israel were killed at the hands of their enemies. The entire army of Israel running away from its enemies. The leaders of the nation of Israel crying out in humiliation before God. And yet Achan knew that all this is as a result of his sin. And he knew that he had kept what God had forbidden, the devoted things. Think of what hardness of heart it must have taken for him to stand by silently while all the tribes of the people of Israel were being brought before God, being examined for his sin. And even when he knew that his tribe was taken, his clan was taken, his household was taken, he was still quiet. He was still hoping that his sin would not be discovered. And he only confessed when he had no choice. God would have surely forgiven him of his sin if he had willingly confessed to the sin he had committed. But it was a confession that did not bring about a change of heart and mind. How can a person who knew so much about God, and he had seen God's wonders performed right before them, he had heard of God's mighty dealings with the nation of Israel, he knew so much about God, he had heard the divine mandate that whoever is found with the devoted things will be destroyed. The hardening power of sin is what made Achan not to come clean. There was no genuine change of heart and mind. Even God's call of mercy did not bring about a change of heart and mind. And you could imagine he went to bed, or he went in his tent to sleep, with the words of Joshua ringing in his mind. And he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burnt with fire. And he knew that his family would be destroyed together with him if he's caught. And he woke up the following day with those words still ringing in his mind. God's mercy in delaying the punishment had no effect on Achan. God's call of mercy did not cause him to come. Even when God, through Joshua, reminded the nation that this is what will happen to the guilty person, God was basically saying, Achan, come clean. He did not come clean. And his confession was not done in order to restore fellowship with God. It was done because he had no way out. Isn't it what sin does in the life of individuals? Every day, God's call of mercy is extended to all of us. God's grace is extended to all of us. We wake up each morning. You hear news of others dying. And you wake up each morning, and it's God's call of mercy to you and saying to you, turn away from your sin. Let there be a genuine change of heart and mind. Turn away from your sin. But because You become too familiar with sin. Sin makes your conscience dull, in that you no longer feel guilty when you sin against God. And you begin to do wrong things with impunity. Once upon a time, you were moved to tears when you sinned. You were gripped with guilt. But as you continue in that path, your heart is hardened that you don't get moved when you sin against God. Even when you hear God's warnings that a day is coming when I'll wrap up history and all those who are found outside Christ will be ushered in hell, you are not moved. You somehow think that God is not serious with the warnings. How many times have you heard the gospel and you've still continued in sin? Proverbs 28, verse 31 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." That's what the scriptures tell us here. That the confession that God accepts is a confession that brings about a genuine change of heart and mind. And this change of heart and mind is because you've realized that sin, first and foremost, is against God. And you desire to have your sin taken away from you so that you may have fellowship with God and that God the Holy Spirit may take residence in you. Confession without genuine repentance is empty before God. It does not restore you to fellowship with God. Not because repentance, it's a work you must do to gain God's forgiveness. No. But because without repentance, you still maintain your stubbornness, your sinfulness. And it is sin which is a barrier between you and God. And this is what we see in Achan's confession. There was no genuine change of heart and mind. Though he did confess what he had done. And thirdly, we see that confession which the Lord does not desire is a confession that is done in order to cover the consequences of sin. A confession that is done in order to cover up the consequences of that particular sin. Achan was hoping that by being open to Joshua, he would avoid the consequences of his sin. And yet we see in verse 24 through to verse 25 that the consequences of sin had to run its course. And Joshua in verse 24, "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the cloak, and the bar of God, and his sons and daughters, and his oxen, and donkeys, and sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, 'Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today.' And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. The primary purpose of confession is not to get out of trouble or to avoid the consequences of sin. The primary purpose of confession is to re-establish fellowship with God which has been lost. It's to turn away from a life of sin and surrender your life to God. Because you want to walk with Him. You want to have fellowship with Him. You want to live under His control. And you want to move in His direction. When I read Achan's response to Joshua, I'm even amazed that he could even speak in the first place. He knew the consequences of sin. He knew what would happen, and he knew that God, who remains true to His word, was going to carry out the punishment of the sin committed. He knew. And his heart must have been bumping, as it were, almost popping out of his shirt after undergoing all the interrogation up to the point when he was told, "Now what have you done?" Even though his confession was concise, straight to the point, "I have sinned against God, the God of Israel. This is what I did." He was hoping by confessing his sin, the punishment would be halted and the consequences avoided. Here is a man who had the implication of the divine mandate given to God, given to Joshua by God, that he who's found with the devoted things, he and all that he has will be destroyed. Here is a man who knew that when God said something, God will remain true. And even when he responds to Joshua, he acknowledges that "I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel." He's basically saying, "Joshua, I have sinned against Yahweh. Yahweh, the God who brought Israel out of Egypt. The God who keeps His covenant promises. Yes, that is the God I have sinned against." And by him saying this, he was basically also acknowledging the punishment to follow. He was self-condemning himself that all the consequences of my sin must run its course. He had witnessed God's mighty acts. He heard the retribution, the mandate for retribution spelled out before the entire camp of Israel. He still remained stubborn in sin. And all this was because of the deception of sin in the heart. All the threats, all the warnings that came to the nation through Joshua had no effect upon his life. He flattered himself thinking that his sin was not as bad. And he thought to himself, Can God surely carry out this punishment over this sin? A court from China, 200 shekels of silver and 50 shekels of gold. And he thought, by confessing his sins, Joshua will simply overlook the consequences of sin. But the Bible shows us there that he was destroyed together with his family and all that he had. How many people today presume on the mercies and the grace of God and yet do not desire to live a holy life before God? How many people are quick to acknowledge that God is merciful, God is gracious, and yet they do not desire to live a life pleasing before this God? How many people confess their sins not because they truly believe that what they've done is wrong, but because they think by doing so, they will run away from the punishment that accompanies their sin? How many people do not realize that sin is against God? Giving yourself to sin is giving that which is exclusively for God to selfish use. And in the moment of sin, they know it is wrong, yet continue in the path of sin. And then when they are caught in their sin, they are quick to confess. They are quick to ask for forgiveness, not because they've truly acknowledged that this is wrong, but because they are trying to avoid the punishment that accompanies their sin. They are more concerned about the consequences of sin and not the sin itself. The primary purpose of confession before God is not to get out of trouble, but to re-establish fellowship that is lost with God. And so a genuine repentant person, a person who's truly come to terms with their sins, they are willing to face the public scorn, the public shame. It doesn't matter what people think of them. They are concerned about God and what God thinks of them, what God is saying about their sins. And they are willing to face the shame of the public so that God is glorified and the fellowship is restored in their lives. Isn't this what David longed for in Psalm 51? When he said, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." He was not saying, "Cover my sin, O Lord." He was concerned about him being restored to God. He had lost that joy of salvation. He thought joy was out there. And he went after Bathsheba. And he discovered that true joy is in having a right relationship with God. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." This is what our goal should be when we sin against God, is that we may restore that fellowship. Yes, God, my sin will be a public shame. What would others think of me? But what's my name, oh God, compared to your name? Genuine confession of sin has God at the center of it all. Because sin, first and foremost, is against God. Most of us behave like the way children behave. Those of you who are parents, you know. When we teach our kids to say sorry and apologize, they assume that when they've done something wrong and they've said sorry, that's the end of it. So when you're saying, okay, because of this, this is what will happen, you say, but I've said sorry. It's like once I say sorry, that's it. So whether there are consequences to my actions, they're supposed to be halted. But not with God. When God says sin has consequences, he means that. This is why we need to take sin seriously. For Achan, his sin costed the nation of Israel, but it brought about a destruction of his entire household together with his property. You don't know what your sin will commit, rather what the consequences of your sin. Your sin may just put in motion a punishment that will sweep across your entire family. Keep away from sin. And keep these truths before you always. Hidden sin is open scandal before God. Hidden sin is open scandal before God. You cannot hide sin from God. God is always present. You are always under his watchful eye. Just because your friends don't know about sin, it doesn't mean God doesn't know about your sin. Remember this truth. But also remember that sin does not uncover all its heinousness, nor reveal its horrible consequences, but it comes to us in a very subtle way, offering us the juice, the pleasure that we can get out of it, and it covers its consequences. Acceptable confession is God-centered, sin-conscious, and does not cover sin. Unacceptable confession, undesirable confession before God is a confession that is forced out of a person. A confession that does not accompany a genuine change of heart and mind, and a confession that is done simply to cover up the consequences of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greater Joshua, stands this morning calling out to you to turn away from a life of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross so that in him you may find forgiveness, he's calling out to you that you may make a confession that is brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a confession that desires to have a change of heart and mind for the glory of God. If you continue in your sin, remember, a day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But that confession will be too late to save you from your sin, because it will be a confession which does not desire to have fellowship with God, but a confession that is forced out of you. Do not let sin twist your allegiance to Christ and causes you to think that you still have time. You confess whenever you feel like. Don't let sin allow you to dedicate your life to the little kingdoms of your mind, of your own imagination. Don't fall into the trap of Satan that you have a lot of time. You will confess when you feel like. Now is the time to make that confession which God accepts for His glory, so that there's a change of mind and heart, and that fellowship is re-established, or fellowship is restored between you and God. Don't let sin ruin you. Don't deceive yourself. If you made a confession and there's been no genuine change of your heart and mind, that's not a confession that God will accept. Come to Christ today. Amen.